Welcome to the 624 Pod, your home for all things independent films. We're going to discuss all the positives and negatives when it comes to independent filmmaking. We're going to have incredible guests from the film industry talk about behind-the-scenes experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how the industry has changed in the past 10, 20...
Minutes.
30, yeah, minutes, hours, years. That's the point. It's always changing. And of course, we will always focus on independent filmmaking right here in our state of New Jersey. I'm Tom Baldinger.
And I'm Mark Regadana.
All right, let's do this.
All right, Tom, who do we have today?
Mr. Regadana, we have a very, very special guest. Yes. Her name is Jackie Burns. She is a Broadway actress, actress. Also, Jackie has done multiple TV shows, movies, but she is the longest running Elphaba on Wicked on Broadway. She was also in If Then, and she is now starring in the off-Broadway show Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, Jackie Burns, to the 624 podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. And also, Jackie is co-star of our TV series, Unsuited.
Yes.
Pop off.
That's where I got to meet you. Here's what's so wild. When we walked on set, I didn't know anybody who was going to be on it. I didn't look at like the call sheet. And we walk in and I see you and I go, oh, she's probably like a model turned actress and she's funny. and then I find out your resume.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, I should have been nervous on set.
I was the nervous one. Not with the cooler.
I was too dumb to be nervous. That's why I never look anyone up.
I'm the same way. I don't want to know. But if you don't know, you're like, ignorance is bliss. You're like, yeah. Oh, I just auditioned for Steven Spielberg. Cool.
I thought that was my Uncle Lou.
Yeah.
It was Marty Scorsese.
Exactly.
So Jackie, so when you joined the cast of Unsuited, we're going to get into your career. We're going to get into a lot of stuff here on this cast. But I just want to mention, I'm not sure if you remember this, but when you were on set with us, my daughter is a big fan. And my daughter at the time was 10 years old. And we were, before you came to set, it was like a couple of days before, we were walking our dog. And she came, and we're walking our dog. She came off the bus. And she, you know, she's helped me walk the dog and she's like, Dad, she goes, Dad, I looked up Jackie. I found her on YouTube. And then she started playing Wicked. And she's like, Can I meet her? I was like, I don't know. So then it was like a couple of days later, we're on set and my daughter's like this. She's like in the corner watching Jackie work and she's just kind of like her hands are going. And then finally you went up and talked to her. And then afterwards she was like, Dad, she talked to me. So you made a little girl's dream come true, which was awesome.
I mean, she was the sweetest. God, how many years? Was that two, 3 years?
2 years. It's almost, so we shot that during COVID.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's almost 3 years now. But, you know, lots of good stuff that's coming up for Unsuited. You've seen my emails. We did a screening out in Vegas. Yeah. The World Series Poker. What's that?
I was bummed to miss that.
Well, we've got another one potentially coming up in Florida. But
Florida? Yes, please.
Yeah, so the World Poker Tour. But enough about that. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what's going on with. Let's talk about Titanic. Tell me, okay. what's happening.
Titanic is a musical parody about the movie Titanic, and if Celine Dion was on the Titanic, and so it's all Celine Dion music, and she like comes in. It was
I
like.
Love it. You know,
I was on the Titanic and this is actually what happened and it's just ridiculous and I get to play Celine Dion and sing a bunch of Celine Dion songs and, you know, get to be blonde, which is kooky crazy. And you get to improv every night and it's just like, there's a whole improv section where, you know, I just get to make actors do the other actors, Rose and Jack, do stupid things. And it's really funny and it's 90 minutes straight through and, people love it. You know, it's fun. People like, they're just like a year later are still obsessed. Like Friday night, Maya Rudolph was there, which I was like, oh my God, because I love her. And and she was like, you're hilarious. And I was like, me? Oh my God. You know,
that got to go in your press kit.
Yeah. Maya Rudolph said I was funny. So But yeah, the show is like, it's really, really funny. It's probably one of the funniest shows I think I've ever seen.
And it's been running now for a year, a little over a year now.
I think it's been a year. Yeah.
Wow. And where is it? Where can people go see this in the city? What theater is it?
It's at the Darryl Roth Theater in Union Square.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a very cool theater. And you guys, so when you got the contract to do it, how long did you think you were doing it? And how long have you been doing it? Because I know like the theater, especially, it's like, who knows?
Very true. It was, the show was supposed to actually close in January. So wow. I was contracted to January. So that would have been 6 months, and they just extended to June. So another 6 months, and they asked me to stay. So if I were to stay, that would be a year.
That's nice. Amazing. Congratulations.
Oh. But yes. We'll see, you know.
That's awesome.
So how many shows is it running throughout the week? How many performances? And how many performances are you doing versus your understudy?
I do all the performances, 8 shows a week, unless I have
amazing.
Unless I have personal days. Like this week I'm actually going to be gone because I have symphony concerts that I've already booked out, and they book out like years in advance. So I'm going to Napa Valley. I leave Thursday morning, 6 a.m. And I am there until Sunday. I fly back Sunday. So I'm out of the show because I'm doing concerts Friday and Saturday. That's the only time I'm out. And the only time I'm out is if I'm doing something else.
You have to cancel work for work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never like going to the Bahamas for.
Yeah. Well, when you go off Broadway, doesn't pay so great. So you kind of have to hustle. You know,
I had a friend who was in, Jekyll and Hyde, and she still taught singing lessons.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you're a Broadway star. You're not just doing Broadway. Like, no.
Yeah, you're like, no. Yeah. I still teach same. I taught today.
What do you teach exact singing? Obviously, or am
I don't teach stupid? Singing. I teach, song interpretation.
Oh, cool.
I don't have a degree in voice. So I have no place in telling people how to. I have no vocal pedagogy degree, so I leave that to the real voice teachers. I'm like, what is this song about? And you know, like, maybe we could place this more in a head voice rather than a full chest, you know what I mean? Like, just like kind of zhuzh, your performance
to hopefully that, well more out. People need that than I think the average person understands, because you can be a great singer, but that doesn't necessarily mean people want to listen.
It's very true.
You know, and it's so we need more of that, because I feel like a lot of the people who are, they hit the notes, but they don't make you think about the song. Yeah.
Yeah. I say that. That's what I always say to all my students. I'm like, listen, you come to a certain point in this industry, everybody has a good voice. Like literally everyone. It's like, when you audition, it's like girl after girl after girl after girl, guy after guy after guy after guy. It's like great voice, singing high. What's going to make you them remember you? You know what I mean? Like is if you make them feel something, you know what I mean? If you tell a story and make me remember you, you know what I mean? Rather than like, oh, she hit a high note. It's like at a certain point, everybody does that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're playing with the pros. Everybody's good.
It's true. It's like I've sat in on auditions, because a friend of mine is a artistic producer for a theater, and I'm always like gagged by how good everyone is. I always leave and go, I don't know how I've ever worked. Like, there's just so much talent. You're like, holy crap.
You can curse. Go ahead. You can curse.
Holy shit.
So Jackie, talk to us about the process of an actor on stage versus film and TV,
and as a musical versus
exactly
regular stage, like doing just a straight play, and then TV and film.
Yeah, like talk to our audience about that, because I mean, this podcast is about independent filmmaking. It's about independent theater. It's about, you know, building, and we want a lot of people listening in to understand what professionals like you go through and what the process is like, so that they know what to do. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a stigma that drives me a little cuckoo crazy, which is if you do musicals, you're not a real actor. I don't know why
That's not true. I went to Wagner College for musical theater. So no, I'm with you on that. That's not true.
It's not true. I went to school for just acting. I didn't go to school for musical theater. I got a degree in just acting. But because I can sing, that means I can't act. And it was a stigma that happened while I was in college. Like a lot of the people that I went to school with kind of made fun of me for like being like, oh, you want to do musicals? And I was like, I want to do everything. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to get the last laugh because I'm going to work. Because the more you can do, the more diverse you are, the more opportunities you have, right? But it does drive me a little crazy that this industry, it's like the second they see a musical on your resume, it's like, oh, you're a musical theater actor.
And you're
like,
one of those.
Yeah. And I just think it's, I mean, like, and listen, to that, you know, to their credit, there are some musical theater actors that are a little generic and vague and indicate, you know what I mean? But then there are just as many straight actors who can be generic and nonspecific and indicate, you know what I mean, as well.
For speaking of one of the people who just do straight theater and straight acting and not musical, it's more of a jealousy. I can't sing. That's it. So it makes me feel better about me by saying that about you.
Okay, that makes me feel better. But the casting directors, those are, I'm like, can you, come on. Like, sometimes my agents have to fight to get me seen for a straight play. And I'm like,
In the stand-up world, bookers look down on acts who do impressions and they'll like prop acts or you know, you play guitar in your act, and it's like they're still comics. The audience is still laughing. Why do you look down on that? Wow. Now again, another thing, I can't do impressions. I can't sing. I can't do anything with props. So it's out of jealousy, but. But no, some bookers will be like, oh, guitar act. I don't even need to watch his video. It's like, really? He might be really good. It's crazy. It's people like to be in their pocket and they're afraid of what they don't know, I think.
Yes, I 100% agree.
I enjoy everything. I just wish I was good at it.
Me too.
Do you see why I have him as a co-host? This guy's always coming out with stuff.
Just coming,
So Jackie, talk about the preparation for musical theater to straight plays obviously the preparation is different, or is it the same for you?
Oh, well, it's definitely different. I mean, like TV and film acting is very different than, you know, the theater. Because, you know, in theater, you are having to, you know, get your emotions across to, you know, the back of the house, 3,000 people, where, you know, TV and film, it's literally right here, you know, so like, you know.
To this.
Yeah. It's like TV and film. It's like just moving your eye, just like, you know, a quarter of an inch is like massive on a screen where, you know, that would get lost on stage. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's funny. It's like, you know, sometimes in the theater, if I've been like auditioning a lot for TV and film, I'll get a note being like, it's getting a little too small. It's getting a little too nuanced. It's getting a little too like TV and film, you know? And I'm like,
Like, did you look at my resume? I do TV and film.
I'm just saying. And then sometimes, you know, when I've just been doing theater, when I start doing auditioning for TV and film again, it's like the same thing. My agents will be like, it's getting a little big. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a totally different.
On set, the sound guy's like, ah.
Totally. They're like, why are you screaming at me?
I got to make sure he hears it.
Yeah. And they're like, no, stop, you know? And especially like also like features wise, like, you know, I have big features, which on stage, you know, like don't look too big, but like on camera, you know, if I were tiny. To like really open my eyes, like, it's like, whoa, that's too much. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So it is interesting to have to be cognizant of like those things, you know, like.
Nothing makes you more self-conscious than when a camera's right in your face, because you know every time you do anything, it's going to be on a 20-foot screen at some point, and you're like, I hope I wipe my eyes clean of eye boogers.
Totally. You're like, hoping on anything in my teeth. It's so interesting, like, how, like, natural you can be when you're just talking to somebody. And then the second somebody turns on a camera, you just become so overly aware of everything you're doing. It's like, oh God, I'm using my hands too much. Even rather than being yourself.
And then in acting class, they're always, get out of your head, get out of your head. Yeah. It's like, ah.
Yeah. Being an actor, why did we choose this? I don't know.
I don't have any other skills. Again, that's what it's I was the Yeah. There's no plan B. Yeah. You know, it's stand-up comedy and acting. If I don't do that, I can go back to my last job, and that was lemonade stand. So that's it.
Friendship bracelets.
You wear this one, I wear this one. Everyone will know we're besties.
Jackie, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you saw what was going on in the industry with the WGA. You know, they've got a settlement, or, you know, it's coming up. SAG is still striking. But Actors Equity, everything is copacetic there, right? In the theater, no issues there. Correct?
There's always issues in our theater, but there's no strike.
Right.
Perfect answer. Yeah. Perfect answer.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. So what are your thoughts on what's been happening and in the industry today? And has that affected you for, I mean, obviously you're doing Titanic, so you're busy with that. But as far as other roles and for TV, film, what are your thoughts on that? And how are you doing with that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think it was necessary, very necessary and needed to happen. The actors are still on strike, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I haven't had any TV or film auditions at all because there hasn't been any. So that's been interesting. And then the other interesting thing is, like, you know, every TV and film actor is out of work. So, like, then they're headed to theater. So there's, like, you know, more actors available and less jobs.
I was going to say, does that narrow the scope of opportunities because you have more of now the, you know, film and TV actors coming into theater and going, well, I've got to work.
Yes. I was all too happy to have booked Titanic before the strike. I think I booked it like not even a month before the strike happened. Wow. So it was like very fortuitous to be working because most of my friends are not working and most of my friends, I mean, are ridiculously talented and it's just, there's just no opportunity. Yeah. And it's still, the thing is, what's hard is that in theater, Broadway is still not back. Even though people are like, oh, Broadway's back. It's not like the tourism, actually everybody went to, it was crazy. There was like hardly any tourism this summer in New York. It was, everybody went to Europe. Because Europe was like on such a harsh lockdown over the pandemic for the last few years that everyone just seemed to go there rather than New York. So like, you know, there's only so many New Yorkers and people from New Jersey and Pennsylvania that come in and see Wicked and Hamilton and, you know what I mean, for the 800th time. Like we need tourism. And if there isn't as much tourism as it used to be. So Broadway is still limping along hardcore. Then the other thing is that everything that was slated to go to Broadway before the pandemic has been on hold. So you have this backlog of shows that have been waiting to get a theater, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like then, and those actors are already attached to it because, you know what I mean? Usually shows take a while to get to Broadway and the cast have been attached to it for a while. So there really isn't a lot of new work opportunity because you have all the backlog of all the other shows that are coming that already have the cast. So it's still very.
And it doesn't help. The news keeps saying how New York's so dangerous.
I know.
No, it's not.
Right.
And I also find it funny because when I first moved to New York in the 90s, all the old guys would all tell me when I'd be like hanging out or whatever. They'd be like, oh, it used to mean something to be here. It's a tough town. And then it was cleaned up and they're like, these wimps used to mean something to be in New York. And now that the crime went back up, they're like, I would never go to New York. It's a dump. And it's like, which do you want?
Well, that's human nature though, isn't it? Like we never want to be happy. It's
no.
Like we want to complain 24/7. Like it's never, never is there going to be a day where somebody's like, yeah, it's great. You know, and it's
everything's
like,
good. I love it. I mean, but New York isn't dangerous. You can go to the theater. Like, people are crazy. God,
yes. No, that whole
thing. It just smells like weed more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That truly is what it is. Just smells like weed a little bit more than it used to.
That's the only difference I find when I come back up.
Totally, it's like, true.
And it's legal, so it's not even bad. It used to be cigarette smoke. Now it's weed smoke.
Yeah, I'd rather weed than cigarette smoke.
Me too.
Now,
prefer weed smoke over a lot of things.
Mark, you and I talked about this on the write-up here. Apparently, you and Jackie are related.
Well, that's when we were on set. We got to still figure out if we're related.
Wait, I don't remember this.
You don't remember talking about this?
No, because
I'm a Burns on my mom's side.
I'm a goldfish. Everybody makes fun of me because I literally will forget something. I don't know how I remember lines because, quite frankly, I'm the best person to tell some a secret to because I will just forget.
You'll forget it.
Yeah. Like, remember I told you? I'm like, nope, I don't.
Like the whole bar scene in between takes. You and I were trying to figure out our relatives if we're related. On the
you mean we
side.
Were like staying in character and being like the Daniel Day-Lewis?
We were doing that. Yeah. Well, we were doing the Daniel Day-Lewis because I made everybody call me Mr. Lincoln.
That's right, you did. That's right.
Mr. Lincoln. Excuse me, you mean Mr. Lincoln?
Yes.
We're trying to figure out if we're related. And I still can't figure it out.
Yeah, I know nothing.
We won't do the family tree here.
I don't even know my family tree. I'm the worst. I never did that ancestry.com. Did you ever do that? I don't.
Yeah, I did it. It was a really messed up tree.
Really?
Yeah, it's all over the place.
You're like, you don't want to know.
On the one side, it seemed to just go straight up.
Oh, a lot of incest, huh?
Eh, this Italian side of my family haven't left their towns in a long time.
That's exciting. So.
Yeah. Surprised I don't have three eyes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, I wouldn't want to know those things. I'm like, I'm good.
We're good.
So yeah. Jack, you have a show tonight. You're going, so from here you're jumping on us for a show, right?
Yes, yes. Indeed. So, that's why I was like, I felt bad. You're like I think your schedule, what is it, 5 to 9 or 5 to 10?
Yeah, we record about 3 or 4, maybe 5 episodes, and we do it between like 5 and 10 p.m. Yeah. But no, this worked out perfectly for us. No, this was
literally when I go to work. I leave for work around like I'm gonna leave at 4:45 because I'm doing this. But normally I'll leave like around 4:30 because I go do a voice lesson at 5, and then I go to the theater at 6. And then have the show at 7. And then I get home around like 9:30. So I was like, I'm pretty much the worst time for me.
I don't know if we answered this, but so how many performances a week?
Eight performances a week, 7 o'clock every night, except for on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, we have a 5 and a 9, brutal. Okay. And then, Sunday we have a 3 and a 7. So I'm not a big fan of the 5 double show weekends. Yeah. 2 double headers together. I'm always like, cause then Monday is your only day off and you're like so tired from the weekend that you're kind of like
exhausted. Crazy. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you a firm believer that as an actress, you leave it all on the stage so that when you come off, are you exhausted every night after a performance or are you like, I remember, I mean, again, not at the same level, but when I used to do musical theater at Wagner, there were nights where like I was like, oh my God, the show is over, and I was still pumped. And then there were other nights you kind of come off and you're exhausted. And one of our guests that coming on in our next episode, Ronnie Marmo, he does I'm not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. And he talks about how he just leaves it on the stage and he's exhausted after every performance. Would you say the same for yourself?
Yeah, I don't know how to give anything other than 110%. So yeah. There's no like autopilot. There's no like, I'll just kind of like I'll just do like a B show. Like, it's like, I'm going to do everything I have every single night because it's like.
So where do you get the energy? I mean, you're telling me you're doing Broadway or you're doing off Broadway, mm-hmm. right? With Titanic, the days off that you're not working on the stage in New York City, you're doing other events and you're singing. So where do you, where does all this energy come from?
I'm tired a lot.
I was gonna say love of game and love of bed.
Yeah, I'm you know, it's funny. So last week was my birthday, and so I didn't get
happy birthday.
Thank you. I didn't get to go out because I had a show. And so last night,
that sucks.
I know, it's fine, whatever. But so last night, I had to do yesterday during the day, I had to do an audition and then a film and audition. And then my boyfriend and I went out for, you know, happy hour and dinner and, you know, had a, like my birthday then, but I hadn't had a drink in so long because I just like never have time. And it was also my first Monday, true Monday off. I've had concerts every Monday. And it was hilarious. I'm so tired today and hungover from one beer and one glass of wine because I don't ever do that anymore. And I know I'm getting old because that one glass of red wine kept me up all night. I was like totally awake. I was so tired, but I was like, can't sleep. I was like, oh man, getting older sucks. It's like not worth it. I've been so tired and hungover today. And I was like, you would think I like went on a bender.
You're like, I only had two drinks. I didn't have 22.
And like,
right?
Not two drinks, like two drinks in like a span of like 10 hours. Like
right. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Then we went home and walked our dog and fed our dog. And then at like 7:30, a glass of wine with dinner. And yet still I'm like, oh, I'm busted. Like, so sad. My old self ever would have just been like, Jackie, this is, I used to be able to drink everybody under the, any guy. I could drink a 30 pack and be like, the next day, be like, let's go run a marathon. And now I'm like,
right. It does suck getting old. It really does.
It really sucks.
There are many nights I'll sit at home and I'll look at my wife. I'm like, I'm going to have a couple beers. I'm going to have a vodka. I do vodka and Gatorade because I think I'm like replenishing myself.
Sure.
But it doesn't work.
Oh.
It doesn't vodka work. And Pedialyte was my go to for a while.
Did that help?
All the electrolytes. So when you're drinking, you're also hydrating.
I like that.
I always felt like now I feel like it's not worth it because I don't like not being able to function the next day. So for like, oh, you know, I'll do on a Friday night or whatever. And then that Saturday, I'm like,
Alexa, off. I didn't talk to you. Sorry.
Hi, Alexa.
Alexa, off.
Tom, stop teasing her, Alexa.
I don't know what she heard out of your mouth that all of a sudden said wanted her to talk. Sorry.
No, she heard alcohol. She wants to start drinking.
Hello. I remember old Jackie.
I miss her. She was so fun.
We were playing music all night.
Well, look, you've got to, it's running close to your time. You got to rock and roll. So what we're going to, we want to have you back though, Jackie, because there's so much more we want to talk to about theater, about Broadway. I'm sure our audience is going to want to hear more about your process and you as an actress and your career, and we didn't get enough time. So, but real quick, so we do this with all of our guests, but we're going to shift it because we're talking theater. Usually we ask our guests, give us your top three best movies that you love, but we're going to shift it because we want to ask you your top three theatrical shows, and they could be Broadway, off-Broadway, musicals, non-musicals.
Shows that I've been in or shows that I've seen and loved?
Shows that you love, that you're like, oh my God, I love that show. Like, you know, some people's like, so Tony Denison, his first was The Godfather, right? So that was his, right? So what would be your three either musical or non-musical shows that you absolutely love, whether you did them or you would love to do them or you saw them and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Okay. Well, my first like favorite musical that I saw that got me like really gave me the bug was Evita. I loved it so much. So that's one of my favorite musicals ever. And then August Osage County, that play is so brilliant. I loved it so much. And then it's a tie. Aida.
There's always a tie. Everybody has a tie.
Yeah, Aida and Wicked. Those two.
Aida, Evita.
Evita, Wicked, and August Osage County.
Love it. Those are great choices. I love them all. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. You know, break a leg tonight. Break a leg for the next. You said 6 months. It's running for another 6 months.
Yep.
All right. So give us the plug. Give us how can everybody see the show one more time, please?
Can we follow you?
Oh yes, and can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on social media, Jackie Burns NYC at Instagram. And you can follow Titanic at Titanic musical. We're at the Daryl Roth, and I play Sully Bayon, and you can call me Simi, and it will,
you know. Who plays Santa, your husband?
There is, who?
Celine Dion was married to Santa Claus.
Who's Santa Claus?
Her husband.
Are you talking about Renee Angelil?
Yeah.
Well, you'll just have to come and find out.
Ah, see, good plug, hey. good twist. Well, thank you, Jackie, so much. Really appreciate you coming on. Great show. Thank you, Jackie. It was a lot of fun. We learned a lot. I feel like I learned even more.
Yeah.
So just real quick, our sponsors for the 624 podcast is The Roost, as well as Cream Ridge Golf Course, out in Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Cream Ridge Golf Course actually owns The Roost, a great restaurant. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, they have live entertainment. Maybe we'll try and get Jackie to come out and do a number yeah. with the band. They have a lot of live bands and live shows going on, and the golf course is fantastic, Cream Ridge, New Jersey. So, Jackie, thank you so much. Congratulations on Titanic. We'll have you back. We're at one of these episodes, we're going to be talking specifically about Unsuited, maybe have some of the cast on.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what's going on there, but congratulations, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you, Jackie.